There was a city in the mountains. What a city it was. It contained the riches of the mountains, precious metals, gold, silver, copper, tin, precious stone, granite, lapis lazuli, carnelian and obsidian. This mountain city was Arata, and it was ruled by a fine lord. There was another city. That city was on the fertile plains between two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. What a city it was! It contained the riches of the fertile plains. Bread and beer from the barley, milk and cheese from the sheep pens, vegetables, flowers, figs, dates from the gardens, and baked brick from the red clay. This city of the plains was Unug, and it was ruled by King Enmucar. Both these lords, the king of Unug and the lord of Arata, held in their hands the mace of power. Both lords were empowered by their consort and queen, and both lords had the same consort and queen, and that was the Lady of Life herself, the great immortal goddess Inanna. Both lords had created for the Lady Inanna a magnificent bedroom. In Unug, Inanna's bedroom was decorated with the riches of Unug, with barley and scented with flowers, soft cushions and embroidered hangings of dyed wool. In Arata, Inanna's bedroom was decorated with shining gold, silver, copper, tin, lapis, carnelian and obsidian. One day, after feasting particularly well on the produce of the fertile plains, King Enmucar went to visit his lady Inanna in her bedroom. He knelt down and he prayed, "Oh, Lady of Life, sister wife, am I not your favourite husband? I'd like to give you something special. I'd like to add to the riches and wonders of your bedroom. Gold, silver, copper, tin, granite, lapis, carnelian and obsidian." His prayer was answered, and the lady said, "Yes, good idea. Do it. Send a good messenger to the city in the mountains. He must be intelligent, eloquent, talkative, and have endurance and good strong legs. Let them know in the mountains that they must send you all their riches." The lord of Unug, King Enmucar, summoned a fleet-footed messenger, and the messenger came. King Enmucar, the lord of Unug, said, "You must be my envoy. Go to the mountains, go to Arata, and when you stand before the lord of Arata, say this: lest I make you and your people fly like the wild doves, lest I make you fly like the birds from the nests, lest I sell you like slaves at the market, lest I destroy your city and let it gather dust. Lest I do all this, you shall fashion gold and silver and copper and tin, cut translucent lapis lazuli from flawless blocks, bring stone of the mountain to me. I ask you this with the blessing of Inanna." "Then," said King Enmucar, "then you must sing him the Enki song, you know, the one that goes, in the fullness of time all creatures will be at peace and speak the same language, and then, after you've sung it, you must say, but that time has not yet come. Say it in a threatening way. Have you got that?" The messenger bowed and said, "Yes." "Good, now go. By night, drive on like the south wind. By day, be up with the dew." The messenger listened to the words of the king. He journeyed by starry night, and by day He was up with the dew. He ascended the mountains. He drove on like the south wind. He was like a sandfly flying through the mountains. He crossed 5, 6, 7 mountains. He lifted his eyes and he saw Aratta. He stepped joyfully into the courtyard of Aratta, and he made known the authority of his king. He said, "This is what my master has spoken. This is what he has said. My king, who from his birth has been fitted for lordship, lord of Unug, snake in the mountains, stag of the tall mountains, princely antlers, wild cow, kid pawing the ground with his foot, the lord of Unug has sent me to you to say this." Aratta, the lord of Aratta, said, "What has your master to say to me?" "It's a message. This is the message. Lest I make you fly like the wild dove, lest I make you fly like a bird from its nest, lest I sell you like slaves at a market, lest I destroy your city and let it gather dust, lest I do all this, you shall fashion gold and silver and copper and tin. You shall cut translucent lapis lazuli from flawless blocks and bring stone of all sorts. Load it all onto donkeys, bring them down the mountains to Unug. I ask this with the blessing of Inanna." And then the messenger sang the Enki song. "In the fullness of time, all creatures will be as one, at peace, and speak the same language." And then he stopped singing, and he looked hard at the Lord of Aratta, and he said, "But that time has not yet come." And he said it in a threatening way. Aratta, he looked at the messenger. He said, "Who do you think you're talking to? It is I. I am the husband of Inanna. I am the lord of Aratta. I dwell on the bright mountainside. I am the crown of the mountains. I bow to Inanna. She has barred the mountains to others, and I am her lord. How shall I submit to Unug? It's out of the question. Say this to your lord." The messenger said, "But Inanna doesn't love you anymore. Look, the sky is blue. There's no rain, and I couldn't help noticing your wild barley doesn't grow." And indeed, this was the problem at that time in Aratta. It hadn't rained for a really long time. There was no food and the people were thin. The Lord of Aratta became depressed and he had no answer to give. He searched, but there was none. He stared at his own feet, trying to find an answer. And then he found an answer. He raised his head, looked straight at the messenger. He opened his mouth and he bellowed like a bull. "Speak to your king and say, this is a great mountain. It is a tree grown high to the sky. Its roots are a net. Its branches are a snare. We may look like sparrows to you down there on the plains, but we have the talons of an eagle. My consort Inanna has made for us a barrier of mountains. It's impenetrable. Your king is heading against a hard foe. He is like the bull who ignores the bull at his side. He should acknowledge the bull at his side. I am his equal. But it's true, there's no rain. If Inanna has truly abandoned me, I will submit, but only if the king of Unug sends a gift. He must send me barley. He must pile it up in my court, but there's a condition. The barley must not be in sacks. The barley must be brought in nets. And if he can do this, then I will submit and send him what he asks." The messenger learned the message. He turned on his thigh like a wild cow. Then, like a sandfly, he made his way in the morning across the mountains. At last he set foot joyfully in the city of Unug. The messenger rushed to the great courtyard of the throne room. He created the message, word perfect, to his master, the king of Unug. He even did the bit where a ratter bellowed like a bull. King Enmucca listened, and he heard, and he thought. When day had broken and the sun had risen, King Enmucca went to the river, and he brought water from the Tigris, and he combined the water with water from the Euphrates. He put them in large vessels and small vessels, and golden vessels too, and then he opened the grain houses. He knew just what to do. He soaked the barley till it sprouted. Then he narrowed the mesh in the nets, and he measured the sprouted barley, and it stayed in the nets. It clumped together like felt. And then he sent off asses laden with the nets of barley. They were loaded down. Then he called the messenger. Messenger, go to the lord of Arata, speak to him. Say to him, I have piled up barley in your court. Barley not in sacks, but barley brought in nets. I have accomplished his condition, and now he must submit. And to show that he submits, he must hold a mace. A mace of power. But the mace that he holds must be a smaller version of the mace that I hold. And this is to show that I am the overlord and he is subservient. He looked at the messenger and he said, have you got that? And the messenger said, yes. The messenger turned on his thigh. Like a wild cow, he ran like a sandfly. He was flying like a pelican. He was running like a deer. He was swimming like a salmon upstream. The messenger travelled, and he arrived in the city of Arata at the same time as the asses arrived, laden down with barley. When the messenger walked into the city of Arata, all the people were cheering. The messenger delivered the message, and the lord of Arata listened. Without a word, he turned and went inside to his sanctuary, and he laid himself down. He ate nothing. All night he lay. Day broke, and he looked into the sky, and the sun was unrelentingly hot. The sky was blue. There was no rain. He called the messenger to him. He said, messenger, speak to your king. Say, very well. I will hold a small version of your master's mace to show that I am subservient. But there is a condition. Let the king of Arata put in his own hand a mace that is made not of wood, not of stone, not of metal, nor any of these materials. If he can create a mace in such a way, then let him bring me a little mace like that, and I will take it and submit. The messenger turned on his thigh like a wild cow. He ran like a young donkey. He trotted like an onager. He filled his mouth with wind and ran on one track. When King Enmucca heard the message, he ordered his men to get animal hides. They soaked the animal hides and pounded the animal hides into a paste. And they stuffed the paste down into a big hollow reed. They placed the reed, stuffed with paste, in the sunlight. All day it baked in the sunlight. All night it lay in the moonlight. had baked in the sunlight and the moonlight for 5 years, and at the end of that time, King Enmaka split the reed, and there inside there was a hard, strong, resiny wand, made not of metal, not of stone, not of wood. He had made a new mace. He oiled it, and he gave it to the messenger. "Now, messenger, take this to the Lord of Arata. I have fulfilled his condition." The messenger, he was like a pelican flying over the hills. He was like a sandfly over the ground. He darted like a swimming salmon going upstream. And at last he reached Arata. He set foot joyfully in the courtyard of Arata. He got out the mace, gave it a nice polish, and he put it in the hand of the Lord of Arata. The Lord of Arata was amazed. "What's it made of?" He was nothing if not clever. He said, "Great! I'll submit, of course I will. But once we've had the champion fight..." "There has to be a champion fight, of course. And if your master can bring his champion and his champion can defeat my champion, yes, I'll submit. Oh, and by the way, our tradition is that the champion must dress in clothes that are not black, not white, or indeed of any other colour. Then I'll submit." The messenger turned and he dragged his feet home. King Enmaka listened to the message. He said, "Oh, for goodness sake, he's just playing for time. You tell him this. I have fulfilled all your requests and your requirements. I have completed all your conditions and your codicils, and yet you still prevaricate. Let me repeat my original message. Lest I make you and your people fly like the wild doves, lest I make you fly like birds from the nests, lest I sell you like slaves at the market, lest I destroy your city and let it gather dust, lest I do all this, you shall fashion gold and silver and copper and tin skillfully on my behalf. You shall cut translucent lapis lazuli from flawless blocks, bring stone of all sorts. And what's more, you must bring this in a procession, and you will lead the procession, and in your hand you'll hold the little mace, and I will be in front with the big mace. I ask this with the blessing of my lady, Inanna." And then, of course, you sing him the Enki song, you know, the same one that goes, "In the fullness of time, all the creatures will be at peace and speak the same language." And then you say, "But that time has not yet come." Say it in a threatening way. "Have you got that?" And the messenger said, "No, it's too much. And I'm too tired." And King Enmaka, the Lord of Onug, looked at his messenger and saw it was true. He shook his head. He called for clay. And when the clay was brought, King Enmaka, he took it and he folded it and he slapped it into a tablet. And then he took a stylus and he pressed it into the clay. Time and time again, he pressed it into the clay. And there in the clay, he formed pictures, shapes, symbols, letters, words. There was language in the clay. He wrote the first letter. He baked the clay, and then he gave it to the messenger. "Give this to the Lord of Arata." The messenger travelled. He gave it to the Lord of Arata. And the Lord of Arata looked at the tablet. All the little dark marks in straight lines on the clay. It looked to him for all the world like an army of soldiers marching over a plain, marching towards him. He said, "What can I do? All these soldiers, I must submit." And just at that moment, the great gates of the city of Arata creaked open, and there was a host from the city of Unug. There was King Endmuka, the lord of Unug. There was his champion. He was dressed neither in black, white, or any other colour. He was dressed instead in untreated animal skin. That had been an easy one for the King Endmuka. King Endmuka, he looked at Arata and he said, "Submit!" And just at that moment, thunder rumbled and it started to rain. All the people of Arata were cheering. King Endmuka was still looking sternly at the Lord of Arata, but the Lord of Arata, he was looking back with a raised eyebrow. It was an impasse. And just at that moment, on the verge of war, a woman walked down from the mountain in through the gates of the city of Arata. She was old and beautiful. She walked into the city and the crowds parted and she raised her arm, and her raised arm was like a beam of moonlight. She said, "It is the will of Enlil that this contest ends. There will be no war. There will be sharing. The people of Arata will dig in the mountainside. They will mine the gold, the silver, the tin, the copper, carnelian and lapis. And they will send it to Unug. The people of Unug will plant and harvest. They will harvest figs, barley, dates, cheese, and they will send it to Arata. Let them trade." King Endmuka looked at the Lord of Arata, and the Lord of Arata looked at King Endmuka. They shook hands. King Endmuka said, "It's a good idea. Your wife is a very clever woman." And the Lord of Arata said, "I thought she was your wife." And they both looked round, but the beautiful old woman was gone. And this story, which is a story of the origin of trade, and is also the story of the very first diplomatic letter, is also the very, very first story about a mace of power.